Hey Tom, we got a really fun show today because we have three of the most popular three-row SUVs in America.
That's right, and two of these have a little bit of flair to them, and one of them has got a lot of luxury. So what we're looking at here is the 2026 Toyota Grand Highlander in the Platinum configuration. Next to that is the Ford Explorer Tremor, which is all new for 2026. And next to that is another new car, the Hyundai Palisade XRT Pro.
Yeah, the great thing is in this video slash podcast, we're gonna go hands-on. We're gonna kind of crawl through them. We're gonna describe what we're seeing, and then we're gonna take them for a ride and see how they drive. So if you're out there looking for a three-row, or if you're just three-row curious, this is the show.
Yeah, now look, two of these cars are the off-road trims. One of them is not, but we're not doing any off-roading today. We're talking about what these things are like on the road and what they're like to live with. Plus, Toyota doesn't do a woodland variant of the Grand Highlander. So if you want an off-road one currently, there's no way to get that in the Grand Highlander. But the reason we're focusing on the Grand Highlander, not the normal one, is the normal one is ancient. We believe it's about to be phased out or replaced. And the Grand Highlander is a huge seller for Toyota. This thing has been a massive hit in the three-row crossover segment.
Yeah, so let's start with it. Why don't we start with it? I think this is an interesting vehicle. Of course, Toyota also makes a Lexus version of it called the TX. And I first got my hands on this a couple of years ago with Andre back in Hawaii, and I was impressed.
Yeah.
It's a really popular vehicle because it's somewhat affordable and it's kind of the size everybody wants.
Absolutely. And what you're going to find, especially when we take a peek into the trunk, is the sheer amount of space that the Grand Highlander offers that in some way dwarfs the other two. So this really is an American-sized three-row SUV. Now, what do you think of this color, Dad? This ruby flare red?
I thought it was the Soul Crystal Metallic that Mazda does on their
Miata. It's very similar.
Miata, yeah. But I have a bone to pick with this car, Tommy. I have a bone.
What's that?
I think it's confusing because the Grand Highlander and the Highlander are in fact two different cars, and yet because they have the same name, people get them confused.
Well, one of them is Grand.
Yes, I get
it's
it.
The
one
bigger
of them is three-row, but they're both three-row. Yeah, but they're very different. They're on different chassis. They don't share a lot of components.
Sure, but this is the Grand one, right? It's not the normal one. It's Grand. Now, one thing I think you're going to notice across multiple of these vehicles.
The price is Grand, too.
It's actually pretty good value.
How much?
We'll talk about it near the end of this.
Okay.
But one of the things you're going to notice is that the mustache is in. So, see, multiple of these cars come equipped with the mustache. So here in the Toyota, it's chrome. On the Ford, it's yellow. But this seems to be like a new design trend. Are people putting mustaches in between the headlights of their new cars?
How about on the Hyundai?
No, the Hyundai is mustache-less, so there's no mustache on that. But of course, the Toyota has the huge front grille, which is so prevalent these days. And then this car's got a lot of chrome on it. So this is the Platinum spec. This is like the very fancy one. So you see chrome along the front, you see chrome in the belt line, you see some bright work up here on the roof. But I think as a whole, it's a pretty attractive car. My favorite part about this is actually out back, where unlike the other two, this has got the big and bold exhaust tips. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see that. I would say, Tommy, the chrome is out though. Toyota is kind of, you know, very conservative, so they're still doing a lot of bright work. But if you look on the other two, there is no chrome anywhere.
That's true.
Granted, I do like the exhaust.
Yeah, those are the off-road versions. So, you know, for some reason, off-road and chrome are incompatible.
it gets dirty.
But certainly on the nice ones, like this Platinum spec, the chrome is everywhere. But let's pop the hood and talk about the engine. So there's a couple different powertrains available in the Grand Highlander. There's the, of course, Grand Highlander Hybrid, which uses what I believe is a 2.5 NA.
Did you know every Toyota can be had as a hybrid now, Tommy?
That is interesting. Well, not every Toyota.
Every Toyota. This nope. In 2026.
You're missing two.
Not the sports Toyotas.
Well, those are Toyotas.
The 86, of course, can't be a hybrid.
And the Supra.
And the Supra. But outside of that, every passenger Toyota that's not a sports car comes as a hybrid.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this is the Hybrid Max powertrain. So this is a 2.4 liter turbo made into the hybrid system with the E all-wheel drive, which means there's no drive shaft. 362 horsepower. I think it's like 400 pound-feet of torque, so it's a ton of torque in this. But what's cool about this, hybrid but no CVT. This retains a six-speed torque converter automatic, which is great to see.
Yeah, you know, there's a... Jason just did a good video from Engineering Explained where he basically showed people what a planetary gear set is, because CVTs, thanks to Nissan in part, have gotten a bad reputation because they had that, you know, couple years, more than a couple years, where the CVTs failed. And as a enthusiasts, we don't like CVTs because they kind of drone on.
Sure.
And so the manufacturers are now going to planetary gear sets.
But not this one.
But not this one. But Jason, this good video explaining what it was and how it's different.
Yeah.
But I'm of the thought that if it quacks like a duck and if it swims like a duck, whether it's a planetary gear set or a pulley, it's a duck. In other words, it's a CVT. And I don't love them because they still end up droning on. And so I'm happy the Toyota didn't go that route with this car.
Except one duck costs a huge amount of money after 80,000 miles to replace, and the other duck doesn't cost money. So it may be a similar duck, but they're not the same in terms of maintenance costs.
No, they're very different, I agree.
Now, if you get the standard Grand Highlander, I do believe it has that planetary gear set.
Yes.
But this one is a conventional, like I said, 6-speed auto, and this is really the primary buying factor of this car, is the fuel economy at 27, which doesn't seem that high until you realize that Explorer is 19 mpg combined, and that's a huge difference.
Well,
in
it's got
category.
A 3-liter turbo though too, 6-cylinder.
Yeah, but this is still 362 horsepower.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a powerful vehicle. It's only down 38 horsepower over the Ford, so it's still pretty powerful.
Makes me want to drag race them, Tommy, to find out just how powerful it is.
Well, the Hyundai would lose because that's got 287 horsepower.
Yes, it would.
But I want to show the trunk space in this car.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, these are the most utilitarian vehicles in the outside of pickup trucks in the car world, where it's all about space.
What about minivans?
I always forget minivans, as do many of you out there, I suspect.
So what's great about this car is it's got by far the biggest trunk of the three, up to 98 cubic feet when all three rows are folded down. And it's got some pretty clever little features back here. For example, this view blocker, which I can, it does something very clever. I'm sure I won't be able to demonstrate it now that the camera's rolling. Oh, I can. Check this out. So it's got these little feet on both ends that collapse into each other, which I think is quite handy, because that means that there's now a cubby underneath the floor to store this bad boy. Well, I haven't done it properly. What the heck? Well, you just gotta believe me, but if I was smarter, and it wasn't, the camera wasn't rolling, it does clip in a place there. And this car, even though it's a hybrid, does come with a Space Saver spare tire, so that's a great feature as well.
Where's the tire at?
It's underneath the
cubby, yeah.
Underneath the cubby, you can see the jack for it right there.
Okay.
And then it lives underneath here. And then three rows, what I also like about this is these are still manual, which is the best way to move a seat. So they come up and down really easily, and they even have some recline. Dad, you want to crawl back there? Is that my job?
Yeah, I was gonna crawl back here. Actually, the second row really easily moves out of the way. This is always a challenge in three rows, right? How hard or easy is it to get the three row? This basically just, with one clip, just slides out of the way like that. And then it has this pretty wide opening for the third row. Now, the downside to third rows, especially in hybrids, is that the battery lives underneath the floor here often.
Uh-huh.
And so your knees come up into your face.
Yeah, but this one's not too bad.
I mean, they're not in my face, but they're not exactly, you know, uncomfortable. Let's move this back and let's see if I can actually fit back here. And yeah, it's not bad, dude.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Headroom isn't horrible either.
Yeah, even you're like 6'2", look at that. You got a pretty good headroom.
And I've got a really weird torso. It's really long.
Yeah.
So I'm the kind of the worst example.
And this one, being platinum, has these really nice brown seats, which look very cool. Captain's chairs back here with the fold-down armrests. And then this whole center console lifts out of the way if you wanted even more accessibility to the back. Plus, check this out, heated and ventilated second row seats, USB-C ports, and then this is awesome, 1500 watts of charging. So when we check out that Ford in a sec, you're going to find that's 150 watts in that car versus 1500. So if you're looking for like a camping rig, this might not be a bad option.
So there are some nice features back here. I have vents, which is nice. I have four cup holders.
Nice.
And I have two USB-C ports,
nice.
Which is also nice. So, you know, if I'm going to be a kiddo and I'll be playing with my, I would say Angry Birds, but that's probably long out, isn't it, Tommy?
Yeah, that's probably not what kids are doing these days.
Anyway, if I've got my iPad or phone and I need some power and juice drinks, holders galore. How about heated seats up there, I see, Tommy? That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, and third row climate and ventilation. I actually just downloaded Angry Birds again.
Did you?
Yeah, they've ruined it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like an ad cesspool now. You can't go more than a level without it blasting like a minute of ads, and you can't play it when offline. It's just,
you know, that,
ruined.
I think that's what killed websites. Have you ever tried going to like a news website
and
you get 1,500 pop-ups for like extension cords because you happen to mention to your wife that you need an extension cord?
I'm really bad at really mad at the Angry Bird people, because Angry Birds was the greatest app ever to exist. you remember that app? I was just reading about it.
Which one?
The one that was the I Am Rich app. Do you remember this?
No.
It came out in 2008, and it was only on for like a couple months before the App Store moved it. Yeah. But it was $999, and all it did is you opened it, and it did nothing. It just was like you bought it to prove you could afford a $900 app, and then Apple thought that was dumb and removed it. But yeah, those were the days.
I think that's like those vanity phones that people buy just to show that they can afford a more expensive phone than an Android or an iPhone.
All right, should we hop in and check out the inside?
Let's look at the business end of this, the first row.
Yep.
I'm a big sucker fan for these like cappuccino interiors. It's a nice color.
Yeah, for sure. And you were talking about the price earlier.
Yeah.
I actually don't think this is very bad value coming in at $61,000. So yeah, it's a lot of money, but when you consider, you know, really nice seven-seater, heated ventilated second row, sunshade, three-row climate control, 1,500 watt onboard power, and a hybrid for $61,000. By modern standards, it's not too bad.
Well, considering I just reviewed a $42,000 Honda Prelude, which barely had four seats, really two and a half, then you get seven seats for $61. If you're doing the math by how many seats you get per dollar, then this certainly is a lot of value.
And manufactured in Indiana. All right, let me turn it out of the sun here so Cole's not shooting into the sun.
Yeah.
A big panel sunroof in this model. You can see. There you go, one-touch operation. It's going to glide on open. And then here, let me point it.
I like these rubberized knobs for the climate control. I think that's a really nice touch.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah, heated and cooled seats, which is also nice. Real vents, Tommy, wahoo.
And I also think you'll like this kind of bronze finish that they put across the finishes. I think it looks really, really nice. It's not just normal silver. So there's some good things. Look, you even have your own USB-C over there.
Yeah, I'm not sure you put it out of the sun.
I think I've done a little bit of a better job.
You could do better than that, because there's a big... There you go. Now it's out of the sun. Now you can see the dashboard.
So yeah, leather-wrapped steering wheel, paddle shifters for that six-speed automatic. Of course, the latest and greatest in Toyota safety systems, adaptive cruise, lane centering, blind spot monitoring, that kind of thing. Heated steering wheel, heated seats, ventilated seats, heated wiper panel, which is great. Heads-up display. This is, I think, a 15 and a bit inch screen, which is massive.
Wait, you said heated wiper panel? Isn't that just a front defroster?
No, it's got these little things built into the where the wipers rest.
Oh, so it warms up the wipers. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have different drive modes, if you noticed.
Yep, so even though this is not an off-road spec vehicle, there is mud and sand, rock and dirt mode, along with normal, eco, sport, and snow, and there's even a hill descent control built in here. So if you want to go tackle your trails, you probably shouldn't, but you could. 360-degree camera looks nice and crispy in there. Bunch of different angles that you can use and see as well. So they've done a really good job with this.
Yeah, a couple years ago, Ford updated their infotainment, and Ford, thinking of the Explorer already, Toyota updated their infotainment, and it's much better. I think it's much more intuitive and doesn't look like something from an old navigation system from the 1990s.
Yeah, they've done a really good job.
Yeah, they did a good job. I'm not sure I love the steering wheel with all the buttons. It's a little confusing.
But they're physical.
They are physical.
Which is great. They're not haptic stuff.
Yeah, wonderful.
Good. And these are physical buttons, too. Look at all these buttons over here for climate control and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, good.
So they've done a really nice job, I think, with the interior on this Highlander. And that's really the highlight for me is just the comfort that this car provides.
And for those of you who are big Key fans, I kind of don't like the Key. It feels kind of budget.
Yeah.
So it's this little plasticky kind of fobby thing. Back here it's a little nicer because it's got the Grand Highlander inscribed. But the front is very much a basic Toyota. Whether you get this or a Tundra or Tacoma, you're going to get the same Key. And I kind of like having a nice Key.
Ride is really good though. You feel we're on this bumpy dirt road here, soaking up the bumps really well with that independent suspension all around.
Well, you're gonna have a long wheelbase, which is always gonna, you know, that's why school buses are so comfortable.
Well, I don't think school buses is exactly
tour buses. There you go, tour bus. I mean, none of them are comfortable because all the seats are crap, but in terms of ride, they do glide across the pavement.
I don't think a school bus is the height of luxury.
I said tour bus, okay? A tour bus.
Is a tour bus the height of luxury?
No, but it's the height of like long wheelbase, comfortable ride quality.
Why didn't you say an S-Class? Why did you have to say a bus?
Because it's a good example of a long wheelbase, Tommy.
Yeah, but the ride is bad in a bus.
No, it's not. The ride is incredible in a bus. Like you feel one, if you feel a bump, you'll feel it on the front wheels, and then 20 minutes you'll feel it on the back because it takes so long for it to actually get back there.
I don't know if I've ever been in a tour bus, so I'm not sure I can
You've been on a tour bus.
Comment on the ride quality of your Led Zeppelin tour bus.
Didn't you go to Sumestra at Sea? Didn't you guys?
Well, that was a ship, which is fundamentally
different.
Sail
around the world and then get on tour buses and go to Vietnam or Japan or wherever the hell you went.
There was no tour busing. A rickshaw. We did rickshaws. That was popular. Well, the boat had a good ride.
The rickshaw would be the exact opposite. If you wanted to do an analogy for a very bad ride, then a rickshaw would be it, because I don't think it has suspension, does it?
I'm not very well versed on the ins and outs of rickshaw suspension. Right, but this is better than a rickshaw, but not as good as a ship. So there's our ride comparison.
Well, that's been the entertainment portion of your video / podcast. Let's get back to the review part. Look, I do have one issue with this.
Yeah.
It's just boring.
Well, it's just boring. What people want.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
But there's not a lot of like fizz in here.
Well, you haven't dialed it into sport mode.
Oh, is that going to make it fizzier?
Okay, we'll do a quick acceleration test
here. All right, you go see how quick it is.
Yeah, so we'll do three people. We're going uphill a little bit. But let's go see what this thing accelerates
Let's see if there's any fizz in this pop.
Oh, there's some fizz.
All right.
Yeah, here comes the fizz. Are you ready?
I'm ready for the fizz.
Okay, brake torque. Pretty fizzy.
No.
Look at the power.
It's not fizzy.
It's fizzy. That's 60.
The only fizzy thing was that thing you couldn't put it away.
I know. That was silly.
Noise behind the third row. So maybe I'm asking too much. But, you know, you look at like a Rivian R1S, right? That's pretty freaking fizzy.
Yeah, but it's double the price. Well, it's $30,000 more.
And like three times the horsepower.
Yeah, so and it's electric.
If you want something with a little bit of like, you know, like Nathan would say, lead in the pencil, that might be the way to go. People, look, let's face it, Tommy. If you've got this many kids, you probably should have a minivan. It's much more practical.
Sure.
In a lot of ways, it's much more utilitarian. The sliding doors are much easier, especially in tight parking spaces. And space-wise, even though this has oodles of space, a minivan will still crush it.
Yeah, but this is Turbo Max power. Can't get that in a Sienna.
But
Turbo Max!
And then the other thing I think we should talk about is what has become of all-wheel drive. So when I was a kid, the difference between four-wheel drive and all-wheel drive was kind of, did it have a low range? But then all-wheel drive became synonymous with luxury. So what the manufacturers did was, if you had a luxury car like a BMW or
an AMC Eagle.
No, not an AMC Eagle. Or a Mercedes, right? You needed all-wheel drive. And the way they did that was they kind of followed Audi's roadmap, where they took the torque and distributed it through, you know, two drive shafts to all four wheels. And so it was not only all-wheel drive in the kind of the Subaru sense, symmetric all-wheel drive, but it also provided equal amounts of torque to all four wheels. Obviously there were diffs, but for the most part, let's keep it simple. What all-wheel drive has now morphed into is this, which is there is no drive shaft between the engine and the rear, right? Uh-huh. The drive shaft in the back has gone away, replaced by a motor.
Uh-huh.
But what this does basically is it makes you less likely to get stuck in snow or on slippery conditions. So it's a way to get the car going, but I don't think it does a lot once the car is going. I don't think it adds a lot of, like, you know, handling or capability or weight, right? But it's mainly meant for the way that most people need all-wheel drive, which is, let's say, going up Vail Pass in a snowstorm.
Yeah, which is what you need it for. I mean, but it's not torque vectoring,
but it's not like
an off-road machine, but what I will say is,
it's not a rally car. It's just, which is probably right.
It's a three-row crossover. Right. It doesn't have to be a rally car.
Right, but it's, you know, to me, all-wheel drive, like the Audi Quattro system, was always about performance. And I think people still think that, but these latest versions of it are basically just a way to get you not stuck, which is grand, which is Grand Highlander.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, if I wanted a WRX, I'd get a WRX, right?
Right. So, but
I think the other thing I will say about the all-wheel drive systems is they started out as kind of like an all-wheel drive assist. They were pretty wimpy.
Because they would cut out at like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, but these new ones are so good. And to find out more about that, check out TFL Car this weekend, because I've got the slip test and you'll see exactly how the all-wheel drive systems perform. But the Turbo Max stuff that I've tested specifically has actually been really, really good.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because I wanted to let people know that they can see how these perform when you put them on rollers and see if it actually does get you unstuck. And this is one of the reasons you do the slip test, which is such a great test.
All right, well, we're gonna cut here. And if you want fizz, I think you'll find our next car quite a bit fizzier.
You think it's fizzier? Is that the Explorer? Is that its claim to fame?
Yeah, it's quite a bit fizzier.
How's the steering? You didn't talk about that.
It's a crossover. It's fine. Uh-huh. Yeah, it works like a crossover. What do you want it to do? It steers the car. That's what it needs to do.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. All right, well, let's jump in the next one.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I have a question for you, Tommy. Will anybody ever take an Explorer off-road?
Well, probably not.
But you just did.
But I did, yeah. So if you go over to TFL Off-Road, I was actually on a four trip with this thing out in Death Valley, and they took us on a pretty gnarly little trail for a three-row crossover. So check out that video. We got to use the skid plates, and we got to try the all-wheel drive system, and there was some good stuff in that video.
I think it's fair to say if you want an off-roader and you're actually going to go off-road, this is the one to get.
Well, the only other one that might be more capable.
Out of the three here.
Oh, the three here, yeah. Probably,
it's, but it's like it's got the most skid plates. It's got the most off-roady tires.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. I'll give you that. No, I mean, I think the Explorer Tremor is interesting. So the history behind this is Ford had a model called the Timberline, which was kind of their first dabbling into the off-road trims. But they decided to bring it within the Tremor lineup. So now, you know, you've got an elevated version. So you actually get real 31.5-inch Dueler AT off-road tires. You get three skid plates. You get front recovery points. You get a Torsen Limited slip rear diff, so it's not a Bronco Sasquatch, but in this category of vehicle, this is about as good as you can expect. Yeah, other than maybe like the Grand Cherokee with the low range, this is about as good as you can get.
If you're listening to this as a podcast, you're going to miss this marsh gray color, which kind of looks like muddy water, but I really like it, Tommy.
Yeah, it's almost got like an olive drab effect to it. Depending on how the sun hits it, but it's definitely cool. And then what makes the Explorer stand out in the Tremor configuration are the orange accents everywhere. So you see them here in the grille, you see them in the tow hooks, you see them on the wheels. Do you like the orange?
I do. I especially like them. We have a long-term Tremor F-150 in that space white metallic color.
Uh-huh.
And I especially like it in that. I like it better in that than in this because it really pops in the space white. Now you might be wondering, what's the difference between like white on that barn over there and space white? Space white has a little bit of like almost blue tint to it. Hmm. It's a really cool color. We're about ready to sell that, and I'm really bummed because I really like that truck.
What do you guys think of the one spoke colored?
I like that too. I think it's interesting. I think it lets people know that this is the Tremor Explorer. And I think Ford has done really well with their off-road marketing, right? They had this like moonshot Raptor. Now uh-huh. There's four of them.
Yes.
And of course, you know, that is a very expensive vehicle. It's usually $20,000, $30,000 above whatever the regular one is. And so the Tremor kind of fills that space nicely.
Well, this is supposed
to be... Between the regular and the off-roady king of the road.
Functional here, because if you look, this is actually the spoke where the Schrader valves comes out of. So they say if your wheels are filthy, you also know where to air up based on the color of that. So
that's clever.
I don't know if that's true, but...
But it's clever, fun. You know? I mean, it's like engineers thinking outside of the box.
Integrated roof rails on this one, as you mentioned, kind of at the beginning, it's all very blacked out here, so you're not going to find any chrome on the trimmer's configuration. And then out back... You get the big Tremor badging, and then the Tremor, like every other Explorer, is rated to tow 5,000 pounds, which I think is the same as the other two. But yeah, I mean, this is the most...
The question I have, does it have a brake controller?
No, it does not.
Then it can tow 5,000. Well, I got in a big argument with a PR guy once about that. And the reason for that, in case you're wondering, is if it doesn't have a brake controller, in most states, you're not allowed to tow more than 3,000 pounds without a brake controller. And what a brake controller does is it allows you to brake your load, in other words, the trailer, so that it doesn't run away from you. So you're not pushing 5,000 pounds into the truck.
What if you don't? What if your trailer has surge brakes?
Then well, that's fine.
Then you're good to tow.
Yeah.
So I mean,
but those are usually boats.
Yeah, or U-Hauls. Yeah. So yeah, I think that this is the most kind of masculine looking of the three, definitely. And it's also the only one here
with the turbo. No.
No.
They all have turbos.
Not this one.
Oh.
Not the Hyundai. But it's the only one here
with six cylinders.
Nope.
Okay. No, that's also got six cylinders.
Yeah.
All right, let me keep guessing. So it's the only one here with. A manual, a regular automatic?
Nope.
Oh gosh, I'm really, that doesn't have a way to open the hood? No. All right, what's it, without a hood, without an engine cover?
Well, that's true, it does look hideous. It's the only car here with the north-south engine configuration.
Oh, wow, I was completely wrong on all those.
So whereas the Hyundai and the Toyota and also the Honda in this class and also the GMC, right?
Are horizontal.
Transverse front-wheel drive bias. Yeah. This is north-south longitudinal rear-wheel drive bias. So if you want that kind of rear-wheel drive push effect all the time, this is going to be the car for you.
Are there such things as a vertical engine? Has anybody ever built one like this, Tommy?
I don't think there's been one on its... On
like
its,
this? On its... I mean, there's like this, you know? There's sideways, right?
Slant,
but there's no vertical.
Yeah.
See, I came up with something for all you engineers. If you want to be different, it might be hard to keep the oil in it.
So this car has a twin-turbo V6 as configured, 3 liters twin-turbo V6. This is the Nano and family of engines. 400 horsepower though, so huge, huge power in this. Basically the same engine that you get in the Explorer ST. So what they've done is they put the ST engine in the Tremor. The other option you can get is you can still get the Tremor with the normal 2.3 four-cylinder if you want to save some money, and save a lot of money actually.
So you can get a Tremor with a smaller engine.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So this has got the 10-speed auto. It's got 355 axle ratios. It also has a torsion limited slip rear diff, which is very cool.
But no locker and no low range.
No locker, no low range. Yep, that's right. But let's check out the trunk area and then we'll go to the back seat again. The biggest issue I have with this Explorer is, especially compared to the Toyota, it's pretty small inside. There's a little button. So we're looking at about 16 cubic feet with the seats up.
Nice cubby hole.
Yep, and it does have a space saver underneath. Yep.
Not a full-size spare?
Not a full-size spare, yeah. That's a problem.
That's a problem on an off-roader. And the reason that's a problem on an off-roader is because if you get a flat off-roading, a regular space saver is not going to get you back home.
They also have power fold in this one, which you can see there. Now, fully equipped for cargo, it's got about 85.8 cubic feet
of space. So significantly less than the Toyota.
Yeah, a lot less than Toyota. It's also power folding. I would not spec the power folding. It just is a pain in the butt.
It's very quick power folding, though.
For power folding, it's not bad.
Yeah, usually they're much slower.
But so why don't
Ford
you hop,
has done that right.
Hop back there.
How come the old man has to always go in the third row?
Oh, you volunteered earlier.
All right. I'm in for a dime, in for a dollar.
So, one touch operation again.
Definitely less room here, Tommy.
Much smaller
way of getting back here, but I'm stuck already. Okay, yeah, all right. But a little bit lower floor, so my knees aren't quite as high.
True.
But let's see
how
it fit.
Are you sure? Your knees look pretty high.
I think they're just a little bit lower.
You know what the problem is? Is I think that the bench is on the ground.
Yeah.
Right,
so. The bench is too low.
Yeah, the bench is very low.
Because this is a very lean, mean machine. I do have my own vents back here. I have somewhat good headroom. This is a very, very firm bench.
Yep.
Two cup holders versus four.
Uh-huh.
And only one USB-C over here versus two. So the kiddos are going to have to fight over it, especially if there's three back here. So I would rate this as a worse place to spend time if you're an adult than the Grand Highlander.
Well, why don't you hop on out, Dad, and we'll check out. I'll hop into the second row. Okay. So one issue I'm also finding is that Toyota had a 3-abreast seating in the third row.
Yes.
This is only two. And the Tremor you can only get with captain's chairs, as I understand. So really, this is only a 6-seater, which does limit some of its usability for bigger families. Rear seat room is okay. And then it does have heated seats, but no ventilation like the Toyota had. And there is a third zone of climate control back here, but it is manual. So it's a little bit more basic than what we found in that Grand Highlander.
And if you have size 12 shoes, getting in the back is not good.
Well, yeah, you'll probably want to leave that for the kiddos, yeah. For sure. Yeah, but not a terrible second row. Definitely a more compromised third row, though.
All right, shall we jump in the first row?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see what we got going on here.
All right, this little tray's nice. I've got the Monroney right here, so let's talk about fuel economy.
19.
Yeah, significantly worse.
Not great.
MSRP, don't go anywhere, I don't have my seatbelt on yet.
I gotta poke it this way, okay. So we can...
I see the... instrument panel. Mm-hmm. So $64,405. I believe this is the most expensive of the three.
Yes, but you can get the Tremor. You want to put your seatbelt on? It's freaking out.
Yeah, destination is actually not bad. It's only $1,700, which nowadays is good.
Get the Tremor in a more basic version for about $50,000. So you can see starting is $48,465. Plus $14,000 in options, and most of that is the ultimate package, which is the big sunroof, the B&O 14 speaker, some of the power stuff for the seat folding, 18-inch spare wheel you can see in there. So the total price of this one's $64,000, so it is a lot of money.
I like this B&O speaker that's built into the dashboard here. It's very slick.
Yeah, the one thing which... two things which are a bummer on this car.
Yeah.
They got rid of the power opening sunroof for 2026. So this does slide back, but it doesn't open.
Okay, so it's fixed.
It's fixed roof. And more annoyingly, they also got rid of the wireless charger.
There's like, nothing under here?
No. I guess they had a lot of complaints from people saying their wireless chargers weren't very good. They're looking for a new supplier. No wireless charger.
So here's my little grumpy man thing that Ford does right and Toyota does wrong. Mm-hmm. So having spent a lot of time now driving electric cars, I love the fact that when you like pull up to a stop sign and you're in drive, you can do what you're doing, which is not have your foot on the brake. So,
sure.
So auto hold.
Yeah.
And in the Ford system, if you turn it on, once it's on, it stays on. Uh-huh. In the Toyota system, there's a button here called auto hold. Mm-hmm. And every time you turn the vehicle on and off, it defaults back to being off. Mm. And so every time you want to turn it on, you have to start the vehicle, hit the button. Otherwise, you know, you're always creeping. And I love not creeping, especially since I got used to that driving electric cars. It's a nice feature not to have your foot on the brake.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I mean, everything is done through the screen in this car.
Too much. The only thing that's here, at least you have a volume knob.
Yeah.
But you don't have a tuning knob. Mm-hmm. You do have your cameras right here.
Yeah, but you don't have track adjustment. You don't have any climate control. All of that's done in the screen.
Yeah, don't love that.
And then you got to do like little pull-ups. And then if the camera's open, for some reason, you can't adjust the climate control fully. So there's some weird things about the screen. I actually do like it generally more than the Toyota. I like this kind of app-based system, which is just always there and easy to use.
Speaking of screens, did you know that this week's news was that Audi recently came out, the designer, or maybe it was the CEO, he said that people don't like having large screens, that it's not a luxurious.
Sure.
I think we're living in a very strange time where the manufacturers, for whatever reason, have stopped listening to the customers.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's from like the tech bro guys who like, you know, take Steve Jobs' statement that people don't know what they want until you give them to them at heart.
Uh-huh.
But listen to your customers. People love real events.
Yep.
People hate everything in the screen. It just is just a pain in the butt. People love real handles on cars. So in an emergency, you can get out and not die because, you know, the car is not blocking you. And yet manufacturers keep making that same mistake over and over again. And I think it's at this point, it's clear what people want. And yet, unbeknownst to like the manufacturers, they'll just keep doing, you know, handles that don't actually work.
Well, an example of that I saw in the comments on my review is to turn on the off-road lights, you have to go into a menu here.
I hate that.
And then you
have
to
good point.
Click your high beams on, and then it's just it's not super intuitive.
There's no knob to turn the lights on.
Not the off-road ones, nope.
But regular ones, you can.
Yeah, regular ones you do have a knob. Yep.
Yeah, because GM got rid of their regular ones as well.
Yeah, that was really silly. But
and GM got rid of CarPlay and Android Auto, which is also,
mind-boggling. Yeah, this still has wireless CarPlay and Android Auto, which is great. I mean, I think that it's a pretty nice interior for the most part. I like the orange stitching. It doesn't have quite the same dynamic contrast that the Toyota has.
How about drive modes?
Bunch of them. Tow Haul, Sport, Eco, Normal, Slippery, and then the Tremor also is an off-road setting here.
So you took this off-road. My question would be, how does it do without a low range? Is there a granny gear that simulates a low range?
Well, it's not as good as a full low range. Oh, let me sure Cole's buckled. Are you ready, Cole?
That's our videographer. Yeah, I can hold that, Cole, if you want. I know it's hard to put your seatbelt on when you're holding a camera. I would say almost impossible, Tommy.
I think something's going on with that.
He's in the middle seat, too. Yeah.
There's no middle seat.
Oh, there's no middle seat.
No, it's just the captain's chairs back there.
Oh, then it's difficult.
I wish there was for families.
Well, it's very hard to buckle a middle seat when there isn't one.
Yeah. No, I actually did really surprisingly well for what it is.
Yeah.
I know there's no low range, and it's not something I would regularly use for trail use. But it has 10 speeds, so that means that it can make first pretty short. And with those 355 axle ratio, it's actually not too bad. Plus, not a ton of ground clearance. I think it's right at 8.7. But it's got three skid plates. Engine, transfer case, and in the back as well, which is ace. So for the category of vehicles, it's definitely one of the most off-road capable.
I gotta say, I'm not loving these seats. They're a little too firm. The back seats were way too firm. These are still more firm.
Let me help you out. How about some massage?
I hate massage.
Why do you hate massage?
I hate massage because it feels like somebody's poking me in the back or butt. Do not like massage. You feel free to turn that off. That just makes it worse.
Well, it does have massage driver and passenger. And if I recall, I think the Hyundai's only driver. So that is a nice feature in this Ford.
I don't know. Every journalist is like, every automotive journalist is like, oh my God, it's got massaging seats. And I have yet to ever use a vehicle, and I've sat in a lot of them, with massaging seats that I thought to myself, this is great. I love this. The only time I've ever found them useful is on a very long road trip when you're like, legs start to fall asleep.
Uh-huh.
Then the massage function is kind of useful. But as something that's luxurious, heck no.
You know, I'm kind of with you. I don't like massaging cars, but everybody I know that has it adores it.
That's weird. People love
it. Yes, so I think we're just the odd ones out in that case.
Yeah, I don't know. It may be a guy thing. I could be. I don't want to be sexist, but I don't like regular massage, let alone, automated massage.
Yeah, but a lot of my friends that are guys like massage, too. Yeah,
okay.
It's a really big thing.
Fair, yeah.
So the best part about this car from an off-road standpoint, and we're feeling it now, is the ride quality is really good. It's a little bit soft, but that means that when you're out in your Michigan potholed roads, it's not going to beat you up. And when you combine that with the fact we have 18-inch wheels with the big sidewall on these 31-inch tires, it's got a very good ride quality. So that's excellent.
Yeah, I do love the look of the thing, Tommy. It feels and looks the most rugged, probably because it is the most rugged. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said, Ford has done a great job with the Tremor and making it almost as lustworthy as a Raptor, but yet making it somewhat affordable.
Yeah, well, this one's not.
No, this one's
not.
If you put the smaller engine.
But if you get the small engine, it's pretty good value.
We've got that Bronco in our long-term fleet.
Yeah.
And that has a smaller four-cylinder, and I don't ever miss the six-cylinder.
But then you don't get the massage.
Oh my God. Are you going to floor it when you get on the pavement here?
Yeah.
Show me how quick this thing is.
I'm going to let this car behind me go by.
Okay.
And then we'll give it a go here.
Move over here.
But
what do you think of that little sound when you make the turn signal? I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
It's a very distinct Ford sound.
I think for sure. Also, one other cool feature, when you put it in off-road mode,
yeah,
the cameras come up right away so you can see where you're going off-road. I think that's very smart.
Nice.
So we'll put it in a sport mode here. Sport mode engaged. And then here I'll come to a stop. We'll give this 10 speed a little bit of a brake torque.
I wouldn't brake torque it nowadays. I think that actually slows it down. Oh, not that time.
Yeah, it's really, really quick. I mean, there's 60 already. I think 0 to 60, somewhere around 5 seconds. This is a really quick SUV.
I also think that's augmented sound that's being pumped in here.
Sure, I probably is, but it doesn't matter when you go blow past all of the other families in the drive-through.
Except for the ones who are in the electric ones.
What electric? Like, Ioniq 9 is going to be 20 grand more than this.
Rivian's going to be more?
Yeah, so, right. I mean, I know they're out there, but, like, that's properly quick for a three-row.
Yeah,
that's a really fast.
Yeah, that augmented engine, though, kind of bugs me a little bit.
Well, here. Go into normal mode. You won't have to listen to it.
Let's see if it gets rid of it. Okay. Still there. Not as growly, but still there.
I actually don't mind it, though, because it kind of sounds cool.
You like it, huh?
You know, yeah.
I feel like you're in a race car.
What I don't like is the fuel economy. 19 is pretty bad. You're going to be using that a lot.
Well, Eco or Boost, Tommy. Pick one.
I know, that's right. But the other big thing, the biggest selling point probably on this Explorer is BlueCruise 1.5. So unlike the Toyota, this is a full hands-off system when you're on pre-mapped highways. Something like 90%+ of highways in the U.S. are pre-mapped. And now with 1.5, it'll even do lane changes for you.
Yeah, so wow. I would have been very impressed by that maybe until the end of last year, where we purchased the Tesla Model Y with full self-driving supervised. And we've been doing this video series over at alltfl.com where the car is driving us for hands-free for 2,000 miles. And it's hard to be impressed by a car that does lane changes, where you can now go into it and tell the AI, take me to wherever, and the thing does it 99.9% of the time without any fuss or bother. So yeah. I feel like, once again, we're at a moment where Tesla is very far ahead of the rest of the competition. And a lot of the public is saying, well, I don't trust Tesla, which is understandable.
Sure.
But the reality of the fact is that the newest version of FSD supervised could be level 3 without the level 3 distinction that would bring the liability onto Tesla.
And I agree with that, but you can't get a Tesla in this category. So what do you do? I mean, Model X is $100,000.
I think you can get a third row in a Model Y now.
Yeah, but have you seen it? It's like pathetic.
No, I haven't
seen
it.
You couldn't put a Shih Tzu in the back of Model Y and have it be happy.
Be careful with that word.
It's a real dog. Look it up. My point is, like, you know, it's great to say Tesla's better, but you can't get a Tesla
in
this category.
I agree. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm no longer impressed by a car that does automated lane changes when a car can take you wherever you want in the continent of the U.S. without ever touching the steering wheel.
But if you're cross-shopping the Ford with the Hyundai, I think it's important to realize the Ford can do it and the Hyundai can't.
All right, well, speaking of the Hyundai, I think it's time we jumped in there.
Let's do it.
Tommy, this Hyundai XRT has a distinction that is pretty important. It's the cheapest of the bunch by quite a bit, but let's get to that in a second. Let me tell you something from my Chicago background. When I was in Chicago, my favorite radio station was WXRT, and I can't help but get that out of my head when I see the new XRT here.
Nice. Well, this is not only XRT, it's XRT Pro.
Ooh.
And what they've done is they've really boosted the capability of this vehicle over previous XRT Hyundai. So not only do we have some appearance differences, but we also have rugged tires. We also have a little bit of underbody protection in this one, along with front and rear recovery points. The only car here with back tow hooks, which is great to see.
I think we need to take a big step back. I think Hyundai with the Palisade and Kia with the Telluride really redefined what the market for these three rows is, because they came in and gave you, I'll give you my experience. I was driving an X7 across country when I got into the Telluride. Mm-hmm. And in terms of quality of interior, in terms of kind of the construction, the value was just out of this world. It was such a incredible car for the money that you spent. And I think we're back to that again, value.
Yeah, and what the Palisade has done in the new generation, and they've really, I think, ruggedized the looks and made it even more premium looking than the old one. So the Telluride was always beautiful. I thought the old Palisade was kind of strange looking. This new one, though, is really interesting.
And they're built in the same chassis. They're basically, you know, it's like GM has different brands, right? Cadillac and Chevy. Hyundai and Kia are the same company, and they share chassis, they share powertrains, just different branding.
Although they've separated them a little in this newest generation, because this is a naturally aspirated V6, and the Telluride has a Turbo 4. Hmm. So actually, it's a slightly different powertrain than the Kia, and then they both are available in hybrids as well now, which is more or less similar. But I think that they've really changed around the styling of this Palisade. I don't love the front end as much as the rear. So the front end has the world's largest turn signal. I mean, there's gotta be 2 square feet worth of turn signal area here. It's unbelievably big.
Everybody in the world will know you're about to make a right-hand turn when you use that. And then, of course, it has a ubiquitous red tow hook showing you that this is indeed an off-roader.
Yeah, I do like the tow hooks a lot. And I also do like this kind of old school rectangular graded grille. It's not quite as big and in your face as a Toyota, and I like how it's kind of this two-tone finish, so I think that comes across pretty cool.
All right, I think there was a big sea change when it came to off-roaders, and that was brought by Jerry McGovern over at Land Rover with the new Defender.
Yeah.
Right? Everything became instead of roly-poly, it became square-jawed and boxy, and you see that here. You also see that in the Santa Fe. You see that in a lot of off-roaders. Just like the new Defender, these are now much more manly.
And the rear end is very Range Rover.
Also a big turn signal.
McGovern, yeah. But this tail light design, the way that kind of wraps around the quarter panel here and this smoothness, but yet square jaw design is very similar to the L405 Range Rover. And then the new Kia has slightly thinner tail lights back here.
I like how they hide the exhaust. So you don't know if it's electric or gas. They do hide them.
Yeah, but I like the Toyota where it's boldly proud that it's turbo powered. Now back here, we've got our third row of seats. This one does have the manual lift, which I do like. That pops up quite easily. Same thing over here. Just pop that up, easy to use.
And we never really talked about this, but we should explain that the XRT Pro is the off-road version of the Palisade.
Yeah,
it's
we,
like it's
we
like,
mentioned that at the beginning.
Yeah, it's like the Tremor.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly right. This is the Tremor for Hyundai. So not a ton of space.
There's no space
behind the third row.
That's being very generous. Yeah, I mean, you can get a couple rollerboards back here.
It is pretty cozy, but when you have all two rows folded down, I think it's got 87 cubic feet worth of space, so it's not too bad.
How about a spare tire?
Yep, I think we do have a spare. Yep, Space Saver Donut spare. So at least, you know, not a full size, but we do have a some spare.
So it feels like they all benchmark each other, right?
Yeah, very similar. Yeah. Except for engines, which we talk about in a second. But do you want to hop in the third row while we're back here?
Yes, I will hop in the third
row. Thank you.
Hopefully I won't. Can you unlock it, please?
Yep, I'm on it. I don't like the egg key at all. They keep using this egg style key.
I can tell because you can't unlock it.
No, I can. I just think it looks cheap and then they get scratched.
Now this has a button instead of a lever.
Yep.
Or a lever, as the British say. Oh, that's nice. Look at that. That opens up. This is actually the easiest to get in and out of, Tommy, by far better than the other two.
How's it feeling back there?
All right, well, let me see here. Let me put this back. Knees are, this is a little tighter knee-wise. Knees are also my nose. Four cup holders, auxiliary vents here, and two USB ports. So, yeah. Look, the back of these things is always a penalty box. Unless you're into suburban land, right? And I can't help but feel that we always make the excuse that this is only for kiddos. But sometimes, you know, adults get back here. And I, as an adult, as a tall adult, I certainly wouldn't want to spend any time back here.
All right. Well, is it the worst of the three?
Yeah, because the seat, I mean,
I'll help you.
Yeah, I can't tell right now because you got to push that seat forward. But I can't do it. So yeah. I'm kind of screwed.
Here you go.
I'd say it's about on par with the Explorer.
Okay, but the Toyota is definitely the winner in terms of...
The Toyota's a winner. This is second because the Explorer seats are very firm and the Explorer's last. It just feels like that's, you know, the tightest. This wins in terms of egress and entry. Much easier to get in and out. So I would say this is the easiest if you have to get back here.
All right.
Let me get out of here and then you can...
Put it back.
Move the seat back. There you go.
So I would say in terms of second row space, very impressive. I'd say more than the Ford in terms of second row space. Pretty good headroom as well back here. This one's a little bit more basic than the other two. So it is actually possible to spec this car with not only second row climate, second row heated and ventilation, but you can even spec a Palisade with third row heated and ventilation. This one, however, doesn't have any of that. It's just got a little 150-watt plug.
You're missing it, Tommy.
Oh, I am missing it. Duh. I was like, where did they put it?
That's why both of us do this. We make a good team.
Yeah, good job. You do have third row climate, but no heated or ventilated second row in this particular one.
I like the kind of mountainy pattern here in the seat.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that a lot.
It's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get a big storage cubby back here. And then you do have cup holders in the doors. And then this one also has little privacy shades. And this is kind of a nice feature. You got this little light here that tells you if there's traffic coming.
So you know, we forgot to show what's under the hood.
Yeah, I know. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's show them what's under the hood of this bad boy.
So this is a little different than the other two. The other two are forced inducted. This one is naturally aspirated.
So if you like your NA engines.
Boom.
Oh, and it also has struts.
Nice.
Instead
luxury.
Of a stick.
So this is a V6, 3.5 liter worth of V6, actually. By far the lowest in power. We're only looking at 287 horsepower, which is actually a little bit less than the old Palisade.
Yeah, they went down in power. That's very unusual. Look at this. Look at this engine mount, Cole. Check this out. I'm pointing to an engine mount that looks like something out of a 1900 steam engine.
What do you mean?
It just looks very old.
It's an engine mount. What do you expect from
it? I don't
know.
It just looks very like...
It only has one job. It just needs to hold the engine.
It looks very steampunky.
Okay, whatever you say there, Dan.
It does. Usually you don't see engine mounts like that.
So 8-speed automatic in this car. Fuel economy rated.
I like the regular automatic. That's nice.
Yeah, it's rated at 20 combined. So yeah. One better than the Ford, but still far off the Toyota. However, the powertrain to really get is the turbo hybrid, which is very cool in the new Palisade. But if you get that, you can't get the XRT.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Tommy, because you've been so good at facts.
Yep.
How much is the tow?
I think it's 5,000.
Like the rest?
Yeah, so it's pretty similar.
All right.
But let's hop inside.
Yep.
And see what we got going on in here. This is another complaint I have with the XRT, is they don't give you the option to get the really nice colors. So, for example, we're about to get a calligraphy at the office, which is this beautiful...
But I bet you this lights up.
It does. That's cool. Yeah. But you can get it with this really nice, like, light brown, tan, cool dashboard. This one, you're kind of stuck with black.
All right. This is where the tire hits the pavement because TBD, but we know how much this costs because we looked at it. So how much is this?
52 as configured.
Wow.
So it's actually pretty good value.
They also give you a full fuel tank of gasoline.
Wow, luxury. Wow. But wow. Oh, look at that, 19. That was 20. So actually fuel economy is pretty poor on this one too.
Yeah, and this is built in Korea, dude.
Yep. And yeah, so you get about the same economy as the Explorer, but you get a lot less power. Don't put your seatbelt on, we're gonna spin it
I think
around.
It's built in Korea. I shouldn't say that.
It is manufactured.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me put it on.
Yep.
I do like the big chunky controls here. I'm never a fan of these haptic controls.
Yeah, so. But at least they give you a menu that's always here, unlike the Ford that disappears. So that is that could be worse. And you do also have all these physical controls here for track, for setup, for tune, physical vents. Yeah, so that's all really good to see. And the screen I find pretty straightforward and easy to use.
You want to put it out of the sun so we can show?
Yeah, sure.
This also has the more traditional sunroof.
Yep, small one. Yeah.
Cool.
Like yeah. I said, you know, if you want the luxury one, you got to get that calligraphy. And then you also get a lot more color in here.
This is odd. Not one, not two, but three USB-C ports.
So these are two charging ports, 100 okay. watts, quite a lot. This one right there is just for media. So you can connect your phone for media. NFC wireless charger here. Your phone is key, I think, on this car as well. But what's really cool, which we don't get in the U.S., is see how this kind of looks like a seat?
Yeah.
In Korea, this whole thing folds up.
So you can have a bench. You can have here. A bench in the front. Yeah. Do you like the shifting stock?
I don't love the shifting stock.
They once again reinvented it, as every manufacturer has decided to do so in the last 10 years.
I do like how it vibrates now when you go into reverse. That's kind of a nice improvement. Hmm. And I do like the 360 camera. It's probably the best camera in the industry. Look how clear that is.
You know what I'm going to complain about right there?
What?
That our car is in white.
It's you might one, be able to change that.
One line of code, but you know when you load the software, and the car should know what color it is.
Yeah, that's true.
You know who does that? Tesla does that all the time.
So here we've got our different tiles to access Apple CarPlay. You got your trailer set up here. It's pretty easy. You also get off-road pages, which is
a big
cool.
ass screen. Two big ass screens actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I think these are 12.3 screens, but you can see pitch roll, oil pressure, temperatures, trans temperature, that's a big one. They give you all the information you need to know right here. You also have your camera set up, so that's actually pretty decent.
I have to thank Hyundai because they actually lent us this for a long-term loan, so we're going to have this for a couple months to get to know it much better. So thank you, Hyundai. That was very nice of you. What do you think of these four little dots on the steering wheel?
Yeah, this is the new pixelized Hyundai H pattern. They actually change... I don't know if you, it's very hard to see in this light, but you get blue for my drive, you get green for eco, white for normal, red for sport. So they actually kind of key in with
the car.
Well,
that's supposed to be...
Morse code for H.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I think that, you know, they've done a really good job with this car combining.
Well, what's amazing is this is $10,000 cheaper than the Toyota. $10,000, Tommy. That's a big number.
But you can get a cheaper Toyota.
Yeah, yeah, you know? But still, I mean, apples to apples, that's... Well, this is pretty apples to apples.
No, apples to apples would really be the calligraphy that we're getting next week.
But that would be even much more upscale in terms of its interior and its one, materials.
That one's priced about the same as a Toyota.
Is it?
That's about 61, yeah, for the top of the line calligraphy. Mm. So you're not really saving a lot much on the top end. But I think this XRT is very well equipped. Heated ventilated seats, heated steering wheel.
But no massaging seats. Oh my, what am I going to do? It's got lumbar.
I do. No, nice. What Hyundai does is on their top trims, they give you a driver side massage, but no passenger.
I love when they do that. That doesn't make the company look cheap or petty.
Yeah, that's kind of silly.
Yeah.
But the car drives quite nice. It's a little firmer than the Ford, but no squeaks and rattles. I think it's a pretty well-assembled car. It feels nice and tight as you go down the road.
What is this about? Why are there like blue and red
light. Frame line, so you know if you're going pitch or if you're rolling.
OG.
Yep. I thought you look, you also have tire pressure here, which is really good.
I kind of thought maybe Hyundai tagged itself.
No, no. But they've done a good job on this screen. I think it's pretty cool from an off-road standpoint. It doesn't have nearly the skid plates, though, that the Ford has.
The one thing I would say about this is the seating position is much more inside the car.
And then on top of it?
And on top of it. I don't love that for an off-roader.
There's the old Palisade.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm sitting inside an egg as opposed to on top of an egg.
Okay, sure.
I say egg because there's a lot of roundness in here.
Yeah, fair enough. No, it's got the latest in Hyundai driver assist, too, so it's got lane centering, adaptive cruise control, blind spot monitoring, all of that. It works pretty well. It's not quite as advanced as the Ford, but it's pretty good.
I mean, look at the amount of space above my head.
Well, you can jack your seat up a little, too.
Yeah, there that's true.
That helps a little
bit. I never jack my seat up. This is weird. I always lower it.
I know. Well, you can kind of choose in this car. You're right.
That's better. Yeah, putting my seat up now, I feel like I'm sitting on top of the car.
Yeah.
But still, look at all the headroom.
I could
wear a cowboy hat
here. Space in here. Yeah,
it's very roomy.
So the only lackluster part about this car is the engine.
All right, well, let's accelerate. Let's see what that means.
I know there's some diehard guys that love their NA engines, which, granted, this and the Pilot are kind of your last two options.
I bet you none of them live at 5,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, 287 horsepower. So you get a big burst, then it kind of just, like, falls off
the cliff.
The Ford
is much quicker.
Yeah, much quicker. We're still not at 60.
So by my butt-o-meter, I would say this is the slowest, and I'm
For sure, by a country mile.
And then, you know, the Toyota's quicker, and then the Ford is a rocket compared to the other two.
The problem is, like, I'm okay with being slow, is if the fuel economy is benefit,
high, yeah, but it's not.
It's slow, and the fuel economy is pretty bad. Mm. So that the powertrain in this, the one they get really is a hybrid.
Well, you know why that is, right? Because sometimes you would think that a smaller engine would give you more and better fuel economy, but what ends up happening is it ends up working a lot harder to, you know, move a much heavier car, and so even though it's smaller, it uses more fuel because it's higher in the
but it's
rev band.
Bigger. This is the biggest engine of the three by a huge margin.
Yeah, but least horsepower.
Yeah, I mean,
so a bit more displacement but less power.
2.4 in the Toyota, 3.0 in the Ford, 3.5 in the Hyundai.
You remember that Hellcat we had?
Yeah.
The Challenger.
Uh-huh.
That thing got like 31 on the highway because that 707 horsepower, you know, supercharged V8 Hemi was turning over at like 1,300 RPM on the highway.
Yeah, but once again, this is the biggest engine, so by displacement, it should be the most.
But there's more to power than just displacement.
Right, but I think there's this perception that turbos give you bad economy because it's a forced inducted.
Well, and the other thing that happens is this technology is always changing, and so this is the problem. People today still think of turbos as when Saab put them in the 900.
Sure.
And, you know, those were 2 seconds of turbo lag when Porsche did it, and then horrendous fuel economy, and then horrendous reliability. And that first impression is hard to shake. So there's all these old guys who are like, I won't like turbos because, you know, they blow up and they're thirsty. So I want the NA, but here you have a car that's NA, and yet it's the same fuel efficiency as a turbo Ford, and yet much slower.
I put it in sport mode. Let's see if that makes a difference.
A little bit.
Maybe a little.
A little sharper throttle response.
Yeah,
maybe.
Sharper throttle response. But as a whole, power aside, very comfortable car.
Good ride, too.
Yeah, maybe even the quietest of the three. It's really well insulated in here. And it offers a lot of space and value. Like, of the three, it's the best value. So which of the three is your favorite?
Well, let me tell you one thing first. The thing that would drive me crazy, right here, it's kind of a really cool dash design, but there's this little flat part of the dash, and it's already full of dust.
Yes.
And all I would be doing is just wiping it off. Same thing with this.
Yeah.
This display, it's already dusty. Luckily, there's no piano black.
Yeah, that's true.
So I like that. Which is my favorite? So for my money...
We're wrapping it up, yeah.
Ooh. Gosh, I'm debating my off-road. See, here's what I'm debating. I love the off-roading that these two can potentially do, but then I am really thinking to myself, is this the right tool for the right job? And the answer I'm getting is no, this is the wrong tool, mm-hmm. because you're not going to take this off-road. So in this case, the off-roadiness of both the Explorer and the Palisade doesn't give me a lot of, like, you know, up value.
Okay.
So I gotta say, I think I'd go with the Toyota if I had a family and I wanted practicality, because the fuel economy is what's gonna sway me.
Yeah, I think that's very, very valid. I think that the, you know, and the performance of the Toyota is not far off of the Ford in terms of real world performance.
Now, if I lived on a dirt road and, you know, I was doing a lot of, you know, dirt work, then it might be either the Ford or this one. I'm not sure yet. I haven't spent much time besides, you know, you actually spent more time behind the Ford, behind the wheel of the Ford. Andre drove this back from Arizona, so this is my first exposure to it, so I don't want to make a decision between the two yet. I guess if it was serious off-roading, I would definitely go for the Ford, because that one's going to be usable off-road. If it was just a dirt road and I wanted to save some money, it'd be this guy.
Yeah, I think the winner for me is this one, because I like the style. I like the blend of style, usability, and comfort. I think it kind of manages those three very, very well. The powertrain is by far the weakest, and this is the fuel economy is disappointing, but I think the value is definitely there for what you get. Plus you get the 10-year warranty, which is a pretty big deal within owning these cars. So for me, I think the Hyundai's the winner, but all three, you can't really go wrong. And if you want to see my slip test, where we get all three of these on the rollers to see really what is the best all-wheel drive system, that's coming soon.
Yeah, head on over to alltfl.com. Hey guys, thank you for joining us for another wonderful, I hope, interesting video where we get hands-on with three direct competitors and see which one is what.
And we'll see you in the next one.
Ciao.